got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me? Turn with me to Psalm 121, verse 1. I love this little verse. I want to talk to you today about the ability to lift. The Bible says here, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I love how, as he's talking, the psalmist, he says, I lift up my eyes. You know, when my children do something wrong, I've got a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old, and on occasions, you know, you catch them out, you know, on doing naughty things, and you know, they're probably going to get some level of discipline. But you know, it's interesting when they come to me, you know, and they've been caught out, and they're like, just like kind of looking at the ground. And have you ever gossiped and been caught out? Rhetorical question, of course. But it is a horrible feeling. And you know, you're gossiping and you're adding just things in for color because it feels good. It's like, oh yeah, I'll just write that out. You know, just, you're loving it. But then you meet the person and you know that they know that you know that they know that you've gossiped about them. It's a really weird moment, isn't it? But one of the things is, it's actually hard to look at them eye to eye. It's kind of the same with God, I think, that sometimes when we feel like we've let God down, it's actually hard to lift your eyes to him. If I could tonight get your, if I could get you to lift your eyes, there would be a success. I love the psalmist because he has said, I lift up my eyes. I cannot lift you. There's no one who can lift you except you. Something inside of you has to decide, I'm gonna lift. Something inside of you has to turn and say, you know what? This is not my forever. I am gonna lift my eyes where? Because this is where my help comes from. There's a recognition. There's a point sometimes in your life where you've tried maybe perhaps many other things that you go, you know what? I'm gonna ask God to help. Because this is where your help comes from. You know what? I was praying for one of the richest people in New Zealand recently. So he's terminal, he's dying of cancer. So the pastor's taking me, he's telling me, you know, he's not really in church, he's doing all those things. So I said to him, he'll be drinking carrot juice. He goes, what? He'll be into carrot juice, barley grass, 100%. And he goes, what are you even talking about? Because when you haven't got God, what have you got? We walk into his $10 million home. The front garden is no longer a garden, it's a herbal garden, organic. And as we walk in, the pastor bursts out laughing because he's standing behind a bench, juicing carrots. And he said, and then we're in the car, we prayed for him, we're in the car. He says, how did you know that? And I said, because when you haven't got God, what have you got? Lift up your eyes, because this is where your help comes from. I was speaking with another young guy, and you know, the family took me around to their place, and this little young guy is just sitting there, and he's 18 years old, he was diagnosed with cancer. The tumor as big as a pea. They chopped it out, they missed some for whatever reason. And then it became as big as a tennis ball. When I had met him, they had removed his whole rib cage. to accommodate the tumor, which is now as big as a football. He's got moments to live. They said he wasn't going to live. I said, that's, you know, the mum and dad were pastors, brought me to this house. I said, when did you become a Christian? He said, I'm not a Christian yet. I said, oh, brilliant. Like, I'm just in time. What perfect timing, you know. And he's like, oh, yeah, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, I was diagnosed with, you know, a terminal disease, and you are too. And so now would be, you know, like a good time to get on the right side of heaven, you know, before you, if you were to die, you know, because when you meet God, it's good to be, you know, like on Team Jesus. And he's like, oh, yeah. I said, so, you know, we should, you know, I can lead you in a prayer. It's an easy prayer. He says, oh, I'm not really into it. I said, oh, what? I said, oh, excuse me. I said, I haven't told you my funny jokes yet. I haven't told you the Bible. I said, for about half an hour, went through Romans with him. I said, he interrupts me. He says, would you just get on with it and pray with me? I'm like, well, you know, God heals unchurched people. I believe that. And I said, sure. When I went to touch him, it was like he was cold already. I got a fright. And for half an hour, like, which is a reasonably long time, we just prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God to heal him. And when I finished my prayer time, he was already looking at me, and I knew that he knew that I knew that I knew that he knew that pretty much nothing had happened. And one of the saddest days of my ministry life today is walking out of that house as the husband and me carried the wife out as she's grieving so much, knowing that he had a moment, had an opportunity to lift, had a time. You know, the Bible says to draw on God while he's near. Why does it say that? Because sometimes God's passing us by. Sometimes there's a miracle right there for you. But it's you, the psalmist says, I lift up my eyes because this is where my help comes from. Something has to happen inside of you that says, you know what? I want this more than anything else. God, if you're real, I'm lifting today and position yourself for a miracle. You know what? I feel like sometimes when I think about that story, I missed it. For about 2 weeks, every time I had my devotional life, I wept. You say, well, why is that? It's because perhaps the thought that you can get to heaven with cancer, but you can't get to heaven with sin in your life, without a relationship with God. Perhaps I should have spent more time with him. Because I think that the miracle may not have even been his cancer being healed. But like Pastor George said, maybe his soul would have been well. He says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Why the mountains? Abraham was called out, get out of the tent, look up in the stars. You see, God wants us to lift so that we realize that nothing is impossible. Look at the stars in the sky. Look at the mountains. Anything could happen. That's how big I am. If you're to follow me on Instagram or Twitter, when I talk about spiritual things, I hashtag he's real. Why is that? Because as a healing evangelist, I have to believe in that as a foundation. The second thing I put is that he heals. Because if God is real, then nothing is impossible. And so that is like a continual reminder to me that God is big. He's able. He can do this. I'm lifting up my eyes to the mountains, to the creator of the heavens and the earth. I wonder if the worship team could come and join me. The heavens and the earth. You know, recently, and I apologize to the youth if you heard this on Friday night, but this is a fresh story for me. My brother was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Bladder cancer, prostate cancer, through other parts of his body. I'm the youngest of eight. We're brought up Catholic. My mum, who is like the boss of my family, rings me up, says, you got to get down to that hospital and pray for him. I was going anyway, but it was like it had to be right there, right now. You do as you're told. So I go to the hospital. I don't like hospitals anyway. I've spent 5 years in and out of hospital fighting for my own life. Even the smell of a hospital makes me feel ill. I would not be a good alcoholic. Because you know those little alcohol swabs, or you might not know, but the smell of alcohol, because of all the injections and chemotherapy and stuff I had, even the smell of that makes me balk. So I'm walking into the hospital, I'm feeling grumpy anyway, just like, I don't want to be here. And I'm going to see my brother, who's not in a good place. I walk in the room, I feel disgusting. But because I feel like the room is like in a dark place, like a spirit of death is already in the place. I don't know if you've ever felt like the expression, you've walked across somebody's grave. Do you know what I'm talking about? You get the heebie-jeebies. It's like, oh, this is as bad as it gets. Begin to talk to my brother. There's somebody else in a room, a friend of his was in the same room, and we're chatting away. I found out later that she's a witch, a real witch, and a school teacher. Oh man. We're playing cards, and after a while, you know, have you ever noticed, like, sometimes it's just getting awkward, like you've got to just say it, don't you? I find that I can talk to everybody about God, but I think sometimes family is the hardest. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just, family's just quirky. And my brother does not believe in God at all. In fact, he's anti-God. And I said to my brother, can I pray for you now? So then the girl, the witch, she starts manifesting. Like F-bombs, boom, boom, boom. What's happening? This is so strange. This is ridiculous. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't ask him. It's inappropriate. You shouldn't be doing this. I said, who are you? She says, I'm his friend. I'm the school teacher. I said, I'm his brother. So I win. I get to win every time. Blood trumps everything. And I said, and I didn't know, and I said, and greater is he that is in me than it is in the world. And I said to my brother, come on, let me pray for you. He goes, all right then. I pulled the curtain because there's somebody else in the next bed for privacy. There's no privacy. I began to pray. And I'm telling you, I didn't pray quiet. I'm praying with passion. There's no air conditioning. No windows open. And the curtains begin to move. All of a sudden, the atmosphere of death turns into an atmosphere of faith. 30 seconds. Maybe a minute max into my prayer, my brother lifts up his eyes and says to me, Andrew, everything is going to be okay. I said, I can't believe you said that. He said, I feel so good. I feel at peace. He says, I'm sure everything is just going to be just fine. I said to my brother, I said, please. For the next 48 hours, keep on saying that, because I know if you say it, your words have power. And sometimes you have to fight for your miracle and fight for the miraculous to happen in your life. He says, I'm going to do it. I hear God talk to me and he says, prophesy over your brother. I was like, oh. You always give God the shake in the first instance. I remember God talking to me, he says, prophesy that everything's going to be okay. Tell him that the cancer's going to leave. Tell him that the bladder, which is now shriveled up, is going to be fully formed. Tell them that the doctors are going to apologize and say we've misdiagnosed. I remember saying to God, but God, what if I got it wrong? If I get it wrong, he won't believe that you're real. God, it's his soul. The devil's reminding me, he says, Andrew, if you get it wrong, if you get it wrong, it's his soul. Who are you going to believe? Lift up your eyes. Lift them. Believe God. Stretch. Have a go. I remember saying, I was so nervous, I felt like vomiting. I said to him, I said, everything is going to be okay. They're going to apologize. The doctors are going to say, we've misdiagnosed. Your bladder, which is shriveled up, is going to be fully formed. I said, in 2 days' time, you'll be out of hospital. This is somebody who is terminal. He's weeping. He doesn't tell me, but he rings my mum, because mum's the boss. He said, everything's going to be okay. Andrew's prayed for me. God's healed me. 2 days later, they do an exploratory operation to find out how long he's got to live. Only hours after the operation, they come back to say, we're embarrassed. We can no longer find any cancer in your body. No cancer. No cancer. His bladder is now fully formed. And if you know anything about bladders, they don't just pop back up again. This isn't make-believe. God's real and he's big. And your ability to lift your eyes to the God of the impossible becomes possible. Everything is able. My brother comes to church. He's sitting on the front row. So I'm talking, doing my message called Who in Hell Knows Jesus, trying to scare the bejeebus out of him. I said, is there anyone who wants to give their life to Christ, lift your hand now. He lifts his hand. I go, mate, other people did as well, but I could care less. Well, that's not true. A little bit. He's heaving, he's crying. He's weeping. Well, I said to him, he says, what am I feeling? He said, why am I so emotional? I said, it's your spirit coming home. He goes, this is awesome. We go out for dinner, we're driving home. He just begins to weep again. I said, what's wrong? He says, I don't want to sleep tonight. I said, why don't you want to sleep? He says, because I'm scared if I sleep, that when I wake up, I won't feel what I'm feeling. The next week he comes to church. He says to me, it's all right if I don't sit in the front row, it's a bit intense. I said, sure, you can. He said, I want to sit in the back. I said, that's no worries. God's still in the back. He's there, the worship's going. This lady who's just next door to him, she begins to weep as the worship's going on. When it's the meet and greet time, he turns over to her, she's still crying. He says, are you okay, dear? And she says, I don't know what's happening to me. She's all emotional. He says, is it your first time? She goes, yes. He goes, don't worry about it. It's your spirit. It's your spirit. It's coming home. That's what happens. He says, that's what happens when your spirit comes home. He said, Andrew's going to give an altar call. It's a time where you get saved. Put your hand up and come. We'll go to the front and you say the prayer, and that's when the miracle happens. So I give the altar call. So my brother's walking down and I'm going, come. Somewhere in all of this, you've got to lift. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I need a miracle. Maybe it's not healing, but maybe it's in your marriage. Or maybe it's in your finances. Or maybe it's in your workplace. Or maybe it's just in your personal world. Maybe there's addictions. But you're not walking with God. But then you want God to help you. Well, get on God's team. The psalmist is saying, I lift my eyes. Who are you asking help for? Ask him for help and he'll help you. And that's about as simple as it gets, I think. Come on. Can we just take a moment before we pray for sick people that we would just lift? What I want you to do in a moment, I want you to close your eyes. Not now, but in a minute. Because when you close your eyes, everything else disappears, but your soul and your thoughts are illuminated. And I want you to ask this question to your soul. Am I in relationship with God? And I reckon that's as honest prayer as you can get. Not am I a good person, not do I go to church, not do I go to youth group or young adults, but am I connected to God? And what I know is God will talk to you just like that. There might not be like a thunderous voice, but there will be a stirring, a knowing inside your heart. And that's God talking to you. It's funny, as soon as God talks to you, there'll be another voice, a contention, because the devil doesn't want you to win. He doesn't want your life to turn around. He does not want you to lift to him, to the Lord. And he'll try all his tricks. But tonight, you just tell the devil, no. Today's about me, my life, my miracle. And I will lift to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, because this is where my help's coming from tonight.